That's a problem if I have to record. If I have a topic, you know, then I start, you know, think maybe it's worthwhile recording. Because normally I say always the same things. You know? But then, you know, you just now I notice, you know, it's getting good. Inviting the hooligans in our heart, you know. Not seeing what, you know, what we face at the moment. That is the biggest problem. I mean, before we do something, just have a short look at the heart. Why are we going to do that? And then we say, see, our heart is not at ease. It's not satisfied. It's lacking something. And that is the first noble truth of dukkha. It's lacking something, you know. It's ripping. Sometimes it's even ripping us apart, and that's why we need, you know, why we have to urge to do something. You know? If you have the feeling, you know, that the apartment, you know, oppresses us, you know, then we go out, you know, we go for a walk. You know, if you have the feeling the city oppresses us, you know, then we fly to another city. Never put the foot in front of a monk. That's okay. Just, you know, I'm just saying it. Or if, you know, if the country or the people in this country oppress us, you know, we fly to another country. That's a dukkha. I mean, the dukkha is there. And the second noble truth is, you know, what is the origin of dukkha? The origin of dukkha is our desire. Desire to become something. Doesn't matter what. Being a professor, you know, or being a CEO, or being this, or being that, or just being a gardener. I mean, if you can't be a gardener, you know, we have dukkha. If you can't find a work in our profession, we have dukkha. It's something, you know, we desire for, you know, when we are young, we work for it, you know, we study for it, you know, to become it, you know, and then once we become it, you know, then for the moment this desire stops. Once we get what we want, the desire stops. But so often in our life, we don't get what we want. And that is dukkha, you know. Then even the dukkha is burning hotter, hotter, hotter. When we get what we want, you know, the dukkha seems to be released. For a few moments, you know, or for a few days. Yeah, it's nice to be here in Thailand, you know, being at the beach, you know. But then the dukkha comes back. When you go back, you know, it comes back. When we do this or when we do that. So important is, you know, to know the origin. It's our desire. To desire to become something or to desire not to become something. To desire to meet something, you know, or desire not to meet something. You know? Sometimes we just don't want to see these people, you know. The people at the university, we don't want to see them. You know, because they make us feeling angry. Or the people there around us, you know, we don't want to see them. So, I mean, meeting with something that we don't want to is also dukkha. And that happens all our life. I mean, there's so much dukkha in our life. You know? And the desire to change the things according to our standard. You know? I mean, we think in this way, you know. You know other people think differently. I mean, especially if you have a partner, you know, he thinks completely differently. And bringing this under one roof, I mean, it's a very difficult task. If you're successful, I mean, that is the ultimate happiness in the world. If you're successful, you know, to live under the same roof, you know, and live in peace with each other, I mean, that is happiness on earth. I mean, the Lord Buddha never said, you know, that the worldly plane doesn't have, or the worldly existence, or human existence doesn't have any happiness. It has happiness. This is the kind, that is the highest happiness of the world, you know, that can offer us as human beings. A relationship, you know, that is working out fine, where we can rely on each other, where we can depend on each other, and where we can support each other. That doesn't mean that we don't have some fights. Of course we have some fights, you know, we are human beings. We have anger, and we have, you know, we have anger, and we have desire. So the desire to change something, to change somebody, you know, somebody else. Yeah? Now we know how difficult it is to change us. The only thing that, you know,
what? If I understand a little bit, in Thailand it's maybe more easy to practice this mind, but like in France, pretty difficult if you consider this mind. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, I understand what you mean, but that is also, no? I mean, there are some nice places in France. I mean, there are beautiful places, natural places, you know. And if there is a meditation center, like in the Provence, for instance. I mean, it used to be. I don't know what it is now. It used to be a very nice place, you know, very relaxed. Huh? I mean, if there is a meditation center, I mean, then it should be the same thing. But it also depends on the people who are in the meditation center. I mean, Lael has quite a few experience, you know. I mean, he has been to Goenka retreats, and each time, you know, there are different people. So each time the atmosphere of this retreat, of this course, you know, will differ. And, you know, it will differ depending on this. You know, of course it will differ depending on the place, because each place has its own atmosphere, has its own energy. You know, some of the places have very good energy, some of the places have bad energy. So, I mean, we don't know that at the beginning, because, I mean, we don't know our own heart. But we have a feeling that something feels better and something feels not so good. But in order to understand, you know, our heart, I mean, to understand these things that actually come from outside, we first have to understand what is coming from inside and have to get rid of what is coming from inside to really understand what is there, what is outside. But you're right, you know, there are some places, you know, where it's easier. I mean, just like in this monastery, it's quite easy to concentrate. It's quite easy to work. And it's quite, because, you know, the world is shut off. In the meditation centers, mostly the world is not shut off. I mean, it's halfly shut off. Because you're still there with all the people just coming back from work, you know, doing one 10 days retreat, you know. I mean, they have still their luggage of the world, you know, and you will feel that. Here, I mean, here the monks have practiced for, I mean, they have been monks for 1 year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years or 15 years. I mean, that's very different. That's very, it's very hard to find as well. I mean, I told you before, I mean, you don't come here to this place without any reason. There's a reason for you to come here. I mean, there are so many, there are thousands of meditation centers in the US, you know, in Australia, you know, even in New Zealand, you know, and even in Thailand. I mean, most of the people go to Chiang Mai or go to Bangkok area. Or some go to an island where there's a meditation center. I mean, to come here to this place, you know, that is really out in the woods, you know, like we say, I mean, it's our karma that leads us there. So, I mean, coming back to the second noble truth, the desire, you know, the desire to change the world according to our standards. And where do our standards come from? Our ideas come from. I mean, we see some things that we like and we see some things that we don't like. So we want to make the whole world, you know, according to our likes. Now the person next to you has different likes. He wants to make the world according to his likes. I mean, there is no way that you cannot clash, that you cannot fight, because he has a different view than the other person. The other person thinks like this, this person thinks like that. And now look at the planet. You know how many billion people are there? Nearly 6 billion, or? Or is it only 3 billion?
Sure.
Yeah, about 3 billion people. I mean, each person has its own idea. I mean, how difficult is it to get under one roof? Now think about a country, you know, like Germany or England, you know. I mean, they have struggled for, in France, you know, they have struggled for quite a few centuries, you know, to get it under a roof, you know, so that it doesn't collapse so easily. Other countries, you know, that have just blown up, like Russia, I mean, it's a mess. Countries like Yugoslavia that used to be one country are now 3 countries, you know. And they still fight, because they don't want to get under the same roof. So that is the desire that creates all this trouble. The moment we, you know, we have no desire, I mean, how can we not be happy? And that is the third noble truth. Is, you know, there is there's an end of dukkha. And the fourth, the fourth noble truth is the path that leads to the end of dukkha. And the path leads certainly over keeping the five precepts. And I think I've explained them before: not taking what is not given, not harming any living being, not speaking harsh and abusive speech and lie, not no sexual misconduct, you know, and no alcohol and no drugs that make us unmindful. These are the five precepts. They are called sila. The next part is samadhi, and that's what we are doing most of the time now. We're just trying to focus our attention on the breath. Bhoto. Or just the breath. Breath going in, breath going out. Knowing that the breath goes in, knowing that the breath goes out. Knowing that there is Bhoto. It's the same thing. It's just not repeating Buddha, but also knowing the Buddha is there, you know. The moment the Buddha is not there, we are aware, where is the Buddha? Or where is the Dhamma? Where is the Sangha? The moment we are not aware anymore of the breath, I mean, where is the breath? Why are we not with the breath? Some thought came up and took us with us. It's just like, you know, like the cowboys catch a cow, you know. I mean, the kilesas, you know, swing their lasso, you know, and catch us and pull us out. And we are not there anymore. You know? And they're very clever. They're very good at catching us. You know? I mean, you've seen it for the moment, right? I mean, just practicing for a week, you know, or just practicing for a day. I mean, our mind constantly goes off. It goes here and goes there. It goes here. Mostly it's the past, but you know, sometimes it plans a future. I mean, the moment, you know, some meditators, you know, find a nice happiness, you know, state of happiness, then they start to plan their future, how to arrange their lives according to this happiness that they have just experienced. And then you go back, you know, and you see you can't hold it. So samadhi is the concentration on one point. The concentration on one point leads us, you know, sooner or later to a state where actually our thoughts stop. They just stop. I mean, in the beginning, you know, they come in slow, they're getting less and less and less, fewer and fewer and fewer. And in the end, there are no more thoughts. And then we can relax. Because if there are no more thoughts, there are no more worries. There is no more past, and there is no more future. Ah, wow. I don't say it's easy.
So, Ajahn, something that I learned is in my daily life when I sit, I can, often in my sit, get peace, or some sense of happiness.
Yeah.
But when I come here, my meditation,
yeah.
You know, I do a lot of meditation,
yeah.
Do a lot of walking,
mm.
Sitting, the mind just goes crazy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's very easy. I mean, during the day, I mean, if you work, you know, if you work this or do that, you know, and then we just sit and relax for an hour, I mean, the kilesas won't trouble us. Because they're actually tired, you know. So that's why they let us go into this kind of peace. Because they're also happy. I mean, they will take the credit of your hard work and say, see, we could make it, you know? We could make ourselves peaceful. But the moment you do that all day long, I mean, the kilesas have no playground anymore. So they trouble you all the time. Ah, let's do this. They're just like naughty children, no? I mean, constantly demanding you to do this, or bossing you around, telling you to do this and to do that. That's where you actually see them. That's why, you know, I mean, you can get a certain kind of peace, yeah? I mean, I had the same experience. I said, why is it so easy to at home, you know? I just sit there for 2 hours and I get completely at ease, you know, completely peace. I completely shut it off. But if I hadn't trained it, you know, I couldn't have done it. In the beginning, it wasn't that easy, you know. When I come back from work, you know, I used to just sit for an hour, you know, just to let everything go. In the beginning, it was really difficult. I mean, especially if you have a work, you know, that that where you have to think a lot. I mean, it still wanted to think about work, so I had to really shut it off, you know. But once I could do it, you know, And then the rest of the evening, of course, was much better. If you don't do it, you track all the things that you have encountered in work, you know, into your evening life, into your free time. I mean, that's quite, you know, quite some luggage that you track into. So I mean, when you practice at home, I mean the best times to practice is just before you go to work and then after you come back from work. Before you do anything else. And you will see, you know, all the things, you know, that you do after you practice, you know, 1 hour after work, you know, you feel so relieved, you know. And there's actually fewer things to do. But when you keep all this luggage from your work, you know, this I haven't done, that I haven't done right, this, you know, I should do it tomorrow. I mean, you will know what you have to do tomorrow. Why do you constantly think about it? But when you do now this work for 24 hours, I mean, it's a completely different story. I mean, it's really, I mean, the kilesas, you know. The kilesas, the fangs of avijja. Avijja pataya sankara. Avijja is the condition for all phenomena to arise. Avijja is the power that has us in its grip. I mean, for billions and billions of lives. I mean, we can't count them. I mean, they are uncountable number of lives. Lungta Mahabodha said once, you know, I mean, if I recount all my birth, you know, and I just would put the skeletons out, I mean, there wouldn't be an empty place in Thailand. Now think about that. I mean, it's endless, it's countless births that we have behind us. And there are probably countless births that we still have in front of us. Because we desire these things. You know? We desire to see, we desire to hear, we desire to smell, we desire to taste, you know, and we desire to touch. And most of all, for the Westerners, we desire to think.
One question, why is it difficult sometimes to decide, even if we know we make maybe a mistake, like, for example, with a girlfriend, with a friend, with job, we know make mistake, but we don't do. We do the mistake. Why? And because we have the power to decide. The power. Why difficult sometimes to decide?
I just talked about avijja. I mean, there are two powers in our whole soul. You know, if you talk about soul or citta. There's the light, that's the Dhamma, and there's the darkness, that is avijja. And they constantly struggle. So, and that's exactly, you know, the avijja, you know, gets a hold of it. So you have to actually fight it, you know, no, I'm not going to do it, no, I'm not going to do it, no, I'm not going to do it. And then the moment you win, right? I mean, the more you strengthen the Dhamma, the easier the fight. Then you just see it, no, I don't need to do it. And then you go on and don't do it. But of course, in the beginning, it's a big struggle. Sometimes you have to fight for weeks, you know, not to do certain things. I mean, for myself, I found it out, you know. I had a struggle 3 weeks long, you know. Because, you know, there's something, you know. No, you have to do it. No, I don't have to do it. No, you have to do it. No, I don't have to do it. I mean, it's a struggle constantly going on. I mean, if you don't give in. If you feel, you know, it's wrong, don't do it. And if you have to struggle. But that is, you know, I mean, there are these two powers. I mean, Lungta Mahabodha explained it, you know, there are two, you know, the light and the darkness, you know, have one throne. And the throne, you know, is the throne over these five khandhas. That's what makes us, so the body, you know, the feeling, memory, and association, thoughts, and consciousness. Whoever sits on the throne will determine what we're doing. So if avijja sits on the throne, or the darkness sits on the throne, then we go in the bad direction. If the Dhamma sits on the throne, then we go in the good direction. So that's why we constantly have to develop the goodness in our heart. The more we develop the goodness, no, I don't want to give. You know, if you see a backup, no, I don't want to give. So then just take it out and give. That, you know, that develops the goodness. Just give without reason. Just give for giving. Generosity. It's something that is so difficult for us. Because we as Westerners are trained, you know. I mean, there must be a reason why we should give. I can tell you the reason why we should give. First of all, the thought of giving, you know, happiness. If you want to give your girlfriend a present, I mean, you feel happy. You haven't actually bought it. The moment you buy it, you know, you feel have a comfortable feeling. And then when you give it, you know, you have even a bigger feeling. This is, you know, this is just giving, you know. It produces so much happiness. Why are we not doing it more often? That's a strange thing, isn't it?
Another question, Tarajan. Here we're doing the Buddha, Buddha. And we're doing the breathing meditation.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get rid of the kalashas? I mean, this is not yet calming us down.
Be patient. I mean, first of all, we have to learn to, you know, to stay, you know. We have to learn, you know, first to fight, you know, for the throne. Yeah. Huh?
These two guys are going to be here maybe for a long time.
Yeah.
Us two are going to leave.
No, I mean, he needs just to learn, you know, the calmness meditation. Yeah. But be patient. I mean, we have to, you know, we have to develop this good, you know. I mean, that will also help. I mean, developing generosity. I mean, just give. And you will see, you know, actually, you know, it produces a very nice feeling. But of course, you know, as long as you're really stingy, I mean, I don't want, you know. And so you have to overcome the stinginess. But once, you know, you're freely giving something, you know, I mean, how can you not feel happy? Weren't you happy now to give something to your teacher? I mean, it's natural. If you bring back some presents for your wife, I mean, she will be happy and you will be happy. I mean, the problem is, you know, I mean, sometimes or quite often in the West, it happens, you know, we give something, we really think about a person and we give something, you know, really loving, you know, and this person rejects this present. I mean, that makes us feel so miserable. But it's actually not our problem. I mean, we've taken the part, you know, whatever this person, you know, even if it throws in the trash can, you know, I mean, that's their karma. What we've done, you know, is something good because we have thought about, we had good thoughts about the other person. What they do with this, I mean, it's their problem. The moment they accept it, you know, it's their problem. But we worry very much about this, you know. When we spend some money for some underdeveloped countries, we worry, what are they doing with this money? Oh, just give it. Oh, no, they are not using it right, you know. Well, sometimes it's okay, you know, to view the situation and then decide, now it's better to give it someplace else. But give it to someplace. It's not all the institutions that are bad. But some of them are corrupt because they are human. So giving is something, it's a virtue. It produces some happiness. And not, you know, and the big joy comes back, you know, when somebody gives us something to us. Because if we give, it's just like putting money in the bank. I mean, sometimes we can receive that money back. It's not that we are losing something. That's always people, you know, Western people think, you know, if I give something, I lose something out. But, you know, think about it, giving it something into the bank. I mean, in this bank, you know, it's not national bank. You know, it's not an international bank. It's a bank of all the realms of existence. Wherever we are, in whichever realm of existence, if we are in the Deva realm, I mean the heavenly realm, even if we are in the hell realm or in the ghost realm, we can receive that. I mean, that is the amazing thing. Karma, you know. Karma is something, putting it on a bank. Giving money, you know, putting money on the bank. You know, giving your help, helping other people, is that, giving that on the bank. And that will come back, you know. If you help other people will help you. So you just store it there. And in both cases, you know, if you help a person, you always have a good feeling. And if somebody helps you, I mean, that is something, you know, when in the West we have a difficulty to accept that. You know, if other people help us, don't help us. Huh? But actually, you know, it feels good, you know, if somebody cares about us. If he something with his knees, you know, and he collapses somewhere, and then somebody comes, you know, and rails him to the hospital. I mean, how can you not be grateful? It's not, you know, it's not our right that, you know, somebody picks us up. No, it's our karma. Whatever we do unto others, others will do unto us. But of course, you know, there's a negative side to it. If you do something bad with another person, if you scold another person, you know, try to put him down, or, you know, cheat him out of something, or even rob him or kill him, the same thing will happen to us. I mean, the bank, you know, doesn't only take good things, you know, it also takes these bad things. You know? And that is what is karma, you know. What you sow, that you will reap. Every farmer knows it, you know. I mean, he knows it as a gardener, you know. If you put seeds of a flower in, a tree doesn't come out. Only a flower comes out. So if you put a seed of love in it, I mean, love will come out. If you put a seed of hate in it, I mean, hate comes out. So, I mean, that is something really important, you know. We have to understand that, you know. Karma. But I was, you know, coming back to samadhi. I was still in samadhi, and then he questioned me. So, I mean, the moment, you know, the mind gets calm, you know, there are no more thoughts. I mean, we feel safe because there's no future, there's no past, and things just happen. It's a world of experience. Upachara samadhi or exa samadhi, it's a world of experience. There are still, you know, sometimes pictures come in, you know, they just fly by like clouds, you know. We are sitting there just like in the cinema and things are coming, you know. But we are not attached. Like when we go to a movie, we are attached to the movie. I mean, we laugh, you know, when we see the movie. Or we cry out, you know. Or we get angry, you know, when you see some things on TV, you know. Or sometimes, you know, we want to change the script of the movie. I mean, isn't that amazing? I mean, just next time when you go and see a movie, just look at your own reactions. And you will see how you're caught up in these flimmering pictures or in these moving pictures. I mean, isn't that amazing? So, I mean, this will stop at this level of upachara samadhi. I mean, you just see pictures flowing by and, you know, I mean, just there. You know? You will hear sounds, you know, but they're far away, distant. They don't bother you. Nothing bothers you. You're in a safe house. You're a safe place. And that's where we have to get first. Because once we get out of there, we feel energized. Each time you get out of there, you feel energized. Like, you know, you have charged your batteries. Now you can run again, you know, for another 10 kilometers before you have to charge them again. And that's exactly what we need before we go into investigation. Because the kilesas are only momentarily stopped in that state of upachara samadhi. The moment we come out of it, they come back again. So, I mean, it's not a cure. People in the West think, you know, it's a cure, you know, because it's so nice, you know. So they do it over and over and over again, you know. They don't get bored with it, you know, because they don't think a lot about it. Why is it so? Why are the kilesas coming back? Why am I in turmoil now? I have just been in a peace, you know. Now I'm in a turmoil. They don't ask this question. They just do it again. Now we ask this question, you know, with this energy. So why? And then the Lord Buddha shows us the third part of this fourth noble truth. You know? It's a path of panya. It's a path of investigation. But next time I explain it closer to you. It's investigation. It's investigating the five parts that makes us, or the five groups that makes us. The five group is first the body. The next group is the feeling. There are different groups. The body is the body. Feeling is feeling. Feeling has two aspects. It's a bodily feeling or it's mental feeling. then association. I mean, look at this, you know? Association. Water. Bottle. Association and memory. Past. It's all your memory. All, you know, see this big bag of memories, you know? If you have to climb the mountain, you know, if you have to climb the mount, what is it called in France? Mont Blanc. If you have to climb the Mont Blanc with all this memory packed in, with all these heavy stones on your back, I mean, you don't get far. But if you all throw them out, you know, you just walk up, you know, very lightly. Mm-hmm. Memory is that, I mean, that really weighs us down. And the older we get, the more we have. Yeah. And it really weighs them.
And it's baggage, really.
Yeah. It's really baggage. Yeah. We don't need it. It's past. We cannot change it. It's past. I mean, the future, the present moment is just there. And the future has not even arrived. So, I mean, that is one of the, that's the third group. Body, feeling, memory and association. Thoughts. I mean, these, our ideas, all these ideas that we have. I mean, that's thought categories, or short thoughts, you know. And then consciousness. So we, for the third part, for Panya, we have to investigate them. So we investigate, of course, with the one that is crudest to us, body. The body investigation goes on, you know, for quite a while. I mean, we have to investigate the outside of the body or the inside of the body. Because we attach to this body. Each day we look in the mirror and then we decide if, oh, today I'm not looking good, you know. Today I'm looking fine. Ah, you know? I mean, we see it, you know? Other people react on our, you know, appearance and say, oh, you don't look good, you know? And why don't I look good, you know? We get angry. You know? So the body is the most important thing. So we really have to investigate really thoroughly in this body. But I will go over that, you know, another time.
You know, but there's a German teacher, you know, that I found useful, a guy called Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah.
And, you know, his message in some ways is quite simple. He dismisses it. You know, sometimes just to stop thinking.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Just to try.
Yeah.
Try and just
I mean, that's just samadhi.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is being in the present moment.
Yeah.
Upachara samadhi. I mean, that's all what he teaches. Mm. I mean, the moment you go out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he charges quite a lot for his talks.
Well, I think he's become a big sort of superstar teacher. But you know, his actual message
But you know, you were asking about Panya, you know, what gets rid of the kilesas. I mean, his method doesn't get rid of the kilesas.
It doesn't, no.
No. So,
but
I mean, that's...
But it gives some peace.
Yeah,
you know,
of course. I mean, just like Upachara Samadhi gives us some peace, because there we are in the present moment. Of course, you can do as a gardener, it's, you know, it's much easier, you know, to be in the present moment. You just be with your breath, you know, when you clip, you just be with your breath and you notice the breath, you know, while you do this kind of work. When you sweep, you can be with your breath or Buddha. So actually work that doesn't require thinking, I mean, it's the best, you know. I mean, we can be mostly in the present moment all the time. So, I mean, try to develop that, you know.
Yeah.
Try to do that into your work. I mean, you will see how the work flies by. Oh, already 8 hours passed. Oh, I didn't notice it. Because you were all the time in the present moment. Your thoughts that go out in the future, what I'm going to do tonight, you cut off because it's not already arrived, you know. I mean, no matter, you know. Somebody wants to invite you and you don't know and you make plans, you know, for this, so you can't take his invitation. I mean, you lose out. You can only lose out if you're not in the present moment. Because all the opportunities of your life presents in the present moment. But the karma that forces us, you know, it's a big stream that forces us to do things, like our thoughts, you know. Our thoughts that I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to accomplish this, I want to finish this. So these are forcing us out. So we cut that stream, you know, try to cut that stream loose, you know, and see the opportunities of the present moment. I mean, a whole new world opens up, you know. But if you think we have to do this, or we have to achieve that, or to achieve that, you know, I mean, then it's gone. It's lost. It's only dukkha. Because we see we can't achieve, you know. I mean, what people, you know, first they want to achieve to buy a car, then they have a car, then they want to achieve to buy a house, you know, then they have a house. Then, you know, that. And then suddenly, you know, the breath stops and they die, you know. What kind of value does these things have? They can't take the house with it. They can't take the car with it. Actually, the car nowadays is not even for life anymore. It used to be a thing that for life, you know, so it was worthwhile working for it. But now, after 4 years, you can throw it away. It's garbage. So I mean, investigation of these five khandhas, and most of all, the body gets rid of the kilesas. It's the only way to get rid of the kilesas, because greed and hate, you know, are rooted in this body. So investigation of the body, you know, will get rid of the kilesas. Investigation, you know, I mean, the first two fetters are actually doubt. Doubt that there is heaven, doubt that there is hell. Not heaven on earth and hell on earth. There is really a hell where people burn in hell. And not only, you know, beings burn in hell. And not only a few. Not only, you know, as many human beings, you know. I mean, the hells are filled with beings. You know? And there's heavens, you know, they're filled with heavenly beings. I mean, all the stories, where do all the fairy tales come from? Yeah? I mean, at a certain time, the people still saw these fairies. These devas, you know, that hang in the trees, you know, or have their house in the trees. Yeah? I mean, even younger children see them. And what does the mother tell? Ah, there's nothing. Yeah? So, I mean, they lose that. They lose that sense, you know, of seeing another dimension.
Other cultures sometimes yeah. have more of it.
Yeah, I mean, Thailand has a lot of it. They do see, certainly see ghosts in devas. Most of them, especially in the rural area, but in Bangkok, I mean, they're just as blinded as everyone in the West. I mean, we believe in science. How can we believe in these things that we can't see? I mean, if our eyes would be just adjusted a little bit to the red spectrum. I mean, you know, we have a certain spectrum of our eyes that we can see certain colors. If it would be adjusted a little bit more to the red spectrum, I mean, we could see all the lower beings, you know, the ghosts, you know, the demons and the hell beings. If it would be adjusted a little bit more to the blue spectrum, we could see, you know, actually see that these eyes, you know, the devas, because they are in the cooler spectrum. And the beings in hell are in the hot spectrum. Infrared doesn't catch. That's not. I mean, I'm just talking, you know. I mean, actually, you cannot. But our eyes, you know, for instance, dogs, you know, have a different frequency. You know? They see ghosts and they see devas. They are aware of them. I don't know what they see, you know, but they are aware of them. That's why they bark, you know, and sometimes howl, you know. But we don't see them. So, I mean, that is the first fetter. We don't believe that there is heaven and hell. No? We don't believe that things, you know, each of our actions will have a result, you know, will have an effect. No? Will have a good effect or a bad effect. Don't do unto others what you don't want others to do unto you. I mean, in each language we do have this expression. And that is nothing else than karma. In France, you probably have the same thing. I mean, you have to wait for Alex to translate. He certainly knows it. But, you know, in German we have. Yeah? In English there is. Yeah? So, but we fail to do that. Because, you know, you've seen it. You know, you don't want to do it, but, you know, something makes you do it. Huh? Because there's another force, you know. There's another soul, you know. There's another force in your chest, yeah? And you have to get rid of it. I mean, samadhi, doing samadhi very often, you will depower it. Yeah? Will give it less and less and less influence. That's why it's also crucial for us to do a lot of samadhi, you know, so that, you know, that we can investigate. Because they won't let us investigate the khandhas. They won't let us, you know, getting into their territory. Huh? Now think about, you know, Germans. fierce, you know, their border. You want to invade. I mean, they'll kick you out. Huh? If you as long as you don't invade, if you come close, they will shoot out a little bit, you know, they don't hurt you, but they shoot out your bit to warn you, hey, this is my border. You can't enter. And that's the same with the Kilesas. I mean, they have the power over us. And they, you can't bargain them. You can't bargain with them. I mean, you can only fight them, one by one. So, slowly getting rid of them. But I guess I talk about that the next time, yeah?